Well, you may have noticed that things look a little different up here this morning because at the 10:45 service, we will be celebrating the confirmation of 7 members of our confirmation class for this year. And as we do that, I wanted to take some time to focus in today on bold promises that we all make whenever we are confirmed in the faith and enter into the membership of the church. You'll find on one frame of your bulletin information that you may follow along as we go through the message, and it will also be up on the screen. In 2012, when his father died of lung cancer, Alex Sheen was asked to give the eulogy at the service. And at that service, he spoke of his father as a rather average man. He was not a war hero. He never wrote a book. He never ran a marathon. His father was a pharmacist and went through his life pretty much with no recognition and no fame. But for everything that made his father average and everyday, Alex said, there was this one thing that he always did exceptionally well. He always kept his promises. He was a man of his word. Alex went on to say in the eulogy that too often we say things like, I'll get to it, or maybe tomorrow. One day there is no tomorrow, he said. The promises we make and keep and those we choose to dishonor define us in this world. Alex entitled the eulogy, Because I Said So. And when the eulogy was over, he handed out some 3x5 cards to everyone that was gathered there, and he called them promise cards. And he asked everyone in attendance simply to write down one promise that they would keep to honor the memory of his father. And then he offered to everyone that he would send 10 promise cards to anyone, anywhere in the world, at no cost to them. Well, Alex could not have imagined what happened next. A whole series of events in which Alex got so many requests for these promise cards that eventually he had to form a nonprofit organization to take care of all the requests. And he called this organization Because I Said I Would. Over the past 5 years, Because I Said I Would has formed chapters and communities all over the world, and the lives of individuals and families and entire neighborhoods have been literally transformed by the simple act of people making and keeping their promises. To date, more than 6,640,000 promise cards have been distributed in 53 different countries, all beginning with Alex's eulogy for his dad. On his website, he writes these words, "The world faces many challenges. In this adversity, we often hope for miracle solutions. An incredible new technology, a huge policy change, or billions in funding. But what if we really just needed to keep our promises? Report child abuse, volunteer, stay in rehab, graduate from high school, recycle. Sometimes we don't need a miracle solution," he wrote. "Sometimes we just need people to do what they say they are going to do." People who do what they say they are going to do. What if we really just needed to keep our promises? promises. You know, Alex's question has been on my mind a lot this week as we prepare for confirming these seven young people today. They are going to make some very bold promises as they stand before the congregation. And they are the same bold promises that every one of us made one day when we joined the church. And I want to focus on those promises this morning. And as I do, I want you to consider, what if we really just needed to keep our promises? The confirmation class will make four bold promises today. Bold promise number one, resisting sin, renouncing sin, and resisting evil. Let's read together the first two membership vows that we make. Do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin? Do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves? Now, on this joyous Confirmation Sunday, when we celebrate young people joining our church, these questions seem to be sort of out of place. I mean, this is supposed to be a happy day, and we're all dressed up and smiling and ready for the family pictures. Questions about spiritual forces of wickedness and evil powers in this world and sin, well, they stick out like a sore thumb. But here's the thing. As followers of Jesus, we do not ignore the reality of sin and the reality of evil in this world. We do not gloss over the forces in this world that destroy people, the forces that deface God's good earth, the forces that stand against God's vision for peace in this world. As Christians, we name evil and injustice and oppression in all of their many forms, and then we promise to accept God's freedom and God's power to renounce it, to reject it, to repent of our participation in it, and to resist it. In other words, we promise to be on God's side in this world. Now, often when we as Americans think of resisting evil, we picture those brave men and women in our military and also our first responders. And we're so grateful for those who put themselves in harm's way and have made great sacrifices in resistance to those forces that would harm people. We're grateful for what they do to protect us and to preserve peace. And we might also think of our missionaries, both at home and around the world, who are at work to resist evil as well. They share God's love with food and clean water. They provide shelter for those who are homeless and medical care for those who have no other way of getting it. And they teach children and they represent Christ. And you know, we also can renounce wickedness and reject evil. One of the greatest forces we have in this broken world is intercessory prayer. And when we intercede on behalf of those who suffer in whatever form they are suffering, we are joining forces with God in overcoming evil with good. We resist evil through our giving to support God's good work in this world. When we model Christ for our children, when we support and encourage each other in difficult times, when we serve our neighbors, we join with that great company of Christians around the world who are accepting the freedom and the power God gives us to overcome the forces of evil. In writing to his beloved church in Corinth, the Apostle Paul declares this: "All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ, and has given us the ministry of reconciliation." That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. So you and I have been given a ministry. You and I have been entrusted with a message: reconciliation, bringing together that which has been broken, resisting evil forces. And I wonder, what if we just really needed to keep our promises? Those who join our church today will make a second bold promise. Bold promise number 2 has to do with confessing Christ as Savior, trusting in His grace, and serving Him as Lord. Let's read that next membership vow together. Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in His grace, and promise to serve Him as your Lord, in union with the church which Christ has opened to people of all ages, nations, and races? And so those first two questions address the reality of sin and evil, and this third one calls us to take a positive turn in the direction of Jesus. Now, turning away from sin and resisting evil and turning toward Jesus is not something we do once and then we're done with it. To confess Jesus as your Savior, to put your whole trust in His grace, to serve Him as your Lord, well, it's a way of life. Look at what Paul says in Romans chapter 10. The word is near you, on your lips and in your heart. That is the word of faith that we proclaim. If we confess with our lips that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For one believes with the heart and so is justified, and one confesses with the mouth and so is saved. What Paul is talking about is that we back up the words that we profess with the way that we live. It flows from a heart that is in relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, many people have experienced ridicule and prejudice and imprisonment and even death because they have confessed Jesus is Lord. In fact, even today, there are brothers and sisters in Christ in some parts of the world that are facing severe persecution, and we as the church need to hold them in our prayers. Now, most likely, putting Jesus first will not cost us in such an extreme way. But always when we confess that Jesus is Lord of our lives, it will involve rearranging our priorities. At one of our confirmation retreats this year, our youth pastor, Lisa Aronson, said to the class that as a Christian, I am not a fan. You know, a fan is someone that sits and watches a game from the bleachers or from the sofa in the living room. A fan may identify with the team, wear the jersey, spend money on the tickets, know the names of the players, even give some commentary on the game. But the commitment of a fan is nothing compared to the hard work and the sacrifice of the players. They train all year long. They follow the direction of the coach. They practice and practice and practice. They are down on the field, in the game, taking the hits, celebrating the successes. Christian, you are not a fan. You are called to be in the game, loving God, loving your neighbor. That's what it means to confess Jesus Christ as your Lord. Now you'll notice that in our United Methodist membership vows, we recognize that we depend on God's grace. And we depend on the support of the Christian community in order to live for Jesus in this world. And just as the church was born on Pentecost with the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, so God has given us the Holy Spirit. And so God has given us a community of faithful people so that we could be encouraged and challenged in fulfilling the promise of following Jesus as Savior and Lord. And I wonder, what if you and I, what if we really just needed to keep our promises? A third bold promise will be made today by those in the confirmation class. It's one that we have made too. Bold promise number 3, committing to the church and its scriptures. Let's read together our next membership vow. According to the grace given to you, will you remain faithful members of Christ's holy church and serve as Christ's representatives in the world? Now, there are a lot of people today who will insist that they don't need the church. They will say, well, I feel closer to God by a mountain stream or out on the golf course on a day like today. And who can argue that point? But there is no such thing as solo Christianity. The God of the Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, is a God of community. God is one, yes. And yet, as we will celebrate next week on Trinity Sunday, God is also in three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Even our God is, in a sense, a loving, close-knit community. And the God of the Old and New Testament calls his covenant people with all of their warts and blemishes to be in community with each other. And that includes you and me. So what are the benefits of being part of the community? Well, the most important one is that in the community of faith, we experience the presence of the living Christ as we can experience him in no other place. He promises that we will greet him in the midst of the faithful, where two or three are gathered in my name. He says, I am among them. And it is a mystery how the risen Christ is present with us in the midst of our church family together. I am so grateful for the opportunity to experience the presence of the risen Christ in relationship with sisters and brothers in Christ. They hear my confession and proclaim God's forgiveness. They embrace me and laugh with me and cry with me. And God heals me through all of that. My brothers and sisters know my shortcomings and they keep me honest, but they also know my potential and they call forth my gifts. They share their faith stories with me and it lifts me up. And I benefit from the wisdom of their experience. I need their commitment to me and they need my commitment to them. We are called to experience the living Christ in relationship with one another. And I wonder, what if we really just needed to keep our promises? And then there is a fourth bold promise. And that is our call to serve as United Methodists. Let's read these last two membership vows together. As members of Christ's Universal Church, will you be loyal to the United Methodist Church and do all in your power to strengthen its ministries? As members of this congregation, will you faithfully participate in its ministries with your prayers, your presence, your gifts, your service, and your witness? You know, each denomination in the Christian church has its own unique contribution to make. And I have learned some valuable lessons from churches across the denominational spectrum. Perhaps you have too. Because we all learn and grow from each other. When we promise loyalty to Christ through the United Methodist Church, we're not saying that ours is the best church or that somehow we have a corner on the truth. Nor are we saying that everybody in our neighborhood ought to be a United Methodist. I mean, we're happy when people join our fellowship, but we're also happy when someone answers God's call in another church. Having said that, I am so proud of who we are as United Methodist Christians. I'm proud of the rich heritage of our church. I'm proud of the strong connections that we have. We are connected to sisters and brothers across the United States and on nearly every continent. Did you know that the sun never sets on our mission in the United Methodist Church? And of course, I'm proud of you. I'm proud to be your pastor at First Church Mechanicsburg. I mean, it's exciting to see from day to day the numbers of children and youth and adults that are reached through the life and ministry of this church. And I am so grateful for the role that each of you plays in opening doors with Christ, with one another, and with our neighbors. In particular today, we rejoice to welcome these seven young people that are being confirmed. I've had a chance to meet with each and every one of them individually, and I've been so blessed by the love that these young people have for Jesus. and by their desire to grow as disciples of Jesus. And I hope that as they join our church today and their names are listed here, that you as a congregation will uphold them in prayer. As we prepare to welcome our new members today, I would like us as a congregation to read these wonderful verses from 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Let's read them together. Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of services, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who activates all of them in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. We celebrate our variety. Each of us has something unique to offer. We also celebrate our unity. Because by the power of the Holy Spirit, we are one. You know, living in this world, from day to day, we see so many things that make us realize that the wrong is so strong. What we really need is for followers of Jesus. What we really need is for people like you and me who have made these bold promises. What we really need is for us, by the grace of God, to be men and women of our word and to keep the promises we have made. Why? Why would we do that? Well, because we said so. Will you please stand as you are able, as we join together in the affirmation of faith? This affirmation of faith was written by our confirmation class for 2017. We believe in one God, the sculptor of heaven and earth. We believe in Jesus Christ and that he is the only Son of God. We believe that God sent Jesus to earth and that he was born of the Virgin Mary. We believe that while on this earth, Jesus showed us how to live our lives through his actions. We believe that Jesus was crucified on the cross and willingly made the sacrifice so that we may live eternally in God's kingdom. We believe that as Jesus promised, his temple body was torn down and rebuilt in 3 days when he rose from the dead. We believe that after he ascended to heaven, he sent the Holy Spirit so that even when we have doubts, he will always be with us. We believe that God created each and every one of us for a purpose and that we should live our lives as God intended.